Advent greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. Today is the second Sunday of Advent and Reverend Jo Jacobs is our preacher and she is one of the retired ministers in our circuit. We will hear Isaiah's vision of the wolf and the lamb peacefully lying down together. And John the Baptist offering a baptism of repentance as we ponder the links between repentance and peace. And may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Will you join me now with our call to worship? And your parts will be on the screen in white. We come to prepare the way for Christ, the peace of Christ, to enter our world and to enter our hearts. We cry out together in the wilderness, the kingdom of heaven has come near. We come to be part of the light that shines in the darkness. So let's raise our voices in song as we sing number 178, as we remember the message from the prophets of old, telling us of God's timeless plan to send us a saviour. Long ago, prophets knew Christ would come, born a Jew.
Long ago, prophets knew Christ would come, born a Jew, come to make all things new, bear his people's burden, freely love and pardon. Ring bells, ring, 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 sing, was, sing, sing, sing. When he comes, when he comes, who will make time, God in man, this is God's timeless plan. He will come as a man, born himself of woman. God divinely human, ring bells, ring, 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 sing, choir, sing, sing, sing. When he comes, when he comes, who will make him welcome?
Mary, hail, though afraid, she believed, she obeyed. In her womb, God is laid, till the time expected, nurtured and protected.
Ring bells, ring, ring, ring. Sing, choir, sing, sing, sing. When he comes, who will make him welcome? Journey ends where afar, Bethlehem shines like a star. Stable door stands ajar, unborn son of Mary. Savior, do not tarry. Ring bells, ring, ring, ring. Sing, choir, sing, sing, sing. Jesus comes, Jesus comes. We will make him welcome.
Let us come before God in prayer. O holy God, of hope and peace. Before the beginning, when space and time did not exist, you nursed a brilliant hope for the children who were yet to be. In the young world, when you first raised up humankind, you planted in them a hope that would survive their wandering and falling. Through the turmoil of history, with the rise and fall of powerful nations, you called the Hebrew tribes to be your people of hope. With prophets and ethical lawmakers, with their poets and devout scholars, you prepared the world for a hope event to outstretch all others. At exactly the right time, you sent John the Baptizer to get your people ready for the incarnate hope that would begin at Bethlehem and ripple around the world. And when we, your latter-day children, found our place in the world, we discovered all around us, like yeast in the dough, the energy of this hope, veined through all things. And not a day goes by when you do not invite us to be peacemakers and advocates, listeners and good Samaritans. Not a day goes by when we're not asked to be a friend to a stranger and a neighbour to those in need. Not a day goes by when we're not asked to be the people you call us to be. And yet, day after day, we lose sight of your hope for this world. Forgive us for walking a different path, and grant us the strength to prepare a new way, your way, here. Gratefully we pray. Amen. And hear these words of assurance. God's mercy and steadfast love endure, strengthening our hearts and overcoming our fears. God will remove every obstacle that keeps us from being the body of Christ. Amen.
We read from the prophet Isaiah. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God, the Advent God of peace.
As we light our second candle, we give thanks to God for the gift of peace. We remember the prophets throughout the ages who have spoken out for peace against the clamour of violence, bloodshed, and war. Jesus reminds us that blessed are the peacemakers. Yet in our own lives, in our churches, communities, and between nations, we see conflict and witness those who prepare for war. May we not be content with uneasy peace, but find strength as we wait in hope for the reign of the Prince of Peace to build real and lasting peace.
Christmas is coming, the church is glad to sing, and let the Advent candles brightly burn in a ring. The second for the prophets who said that Christ would come with good news for many and angry words for some. Christmas is coming, the church is glad to sing, and let the Advent candles brightly burn in a ring.
Let us pray. We pray for all peacemakers, for the mediators and negotiators, for those who challenge aggression and refuse to meet violence with violence. We commit ourselves to the way of peace and to lift up our voices mightily to call on all to live in God's peace.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture today is being read by Margaret Goodrum. And Margaret is one of our circuit stewards. She's our newest circuit steward.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. the peaceful kingdom. A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The gospel reading is St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to others, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Thanks be to God for his word.
Both of our readings for this second week of Advent speak of urgency. Repentance can't wait, and peace can't wait. And I wonder, which is the more important, peace or repentance? Which am I meant to be concentrating on? Is it peace or repentance that I should extrapolate from the suggested scriptures? Then I realise that one follows the other. Neither of them can we put on the back burner these days and hope that they will one day come to pass. Both are necessary to our health and well-being of the world and society and in general, never mind ourselves and the kingdom of God. As I hope we will discover from the scriptures today, as well as from stories of more recent times, peace follows repentance. The word repentance, translated from the Greek as metanoia, means to turn around, or to change your mind or your way. So repentance is active, as is peace, which when translated from the Hebrew as shalom, means wholeness and restoration, not stillness and freedom from noise. So how does that fit with a world that is full of blame culture and the clamour to be first? How does that fit with a world held precariously in climatic balance? How does it fit with the poor and vulnerable of the world, held hostage to power and ideologies? How does that fit with a society that demands rights but shirks responsibilities? Strange, isn't it, when people are crying out for justice and to be heard, and some do long to be forgiven, others hold on desperately to bitterness and bear everlasting grudges. Before we look more deeply into Isaiah's prophecy of a peaceful kingdom, listen to this story from Spain. It is a story of a father and a son who were estranged. The son left home, and the father later set out to find him, and he searched for months and months without success. Finally, in desperation, the father turned to the newspaper. His ad in the newspaper simply read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office on Saturday at 12 noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 young men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged fathers. So however true that story is, we know that we live in a world where repentance just can't wait, and where peace is longed for. A peace so complete, so secure and so long-lasting that a wolf can lie alongside a lamb. A leopard can live alongside a goat kid. And a calf is quite safe being next to a lion, because all he wants to eat is grass. No tooth and claw here. No holding our breath watching a David Attenborough programme as we will the zebra to outmanoeuvre the hunting lion. Have you noticed how many young are featured in these verses? The young that are vulnerable, defenceless, fragile and innocent. I think it's important to notice as we read the introductory verses leading up to the illustration of peace and wholeness, where this peace comes from. From where does it start? From a stump. I was reading in an artist's material guide about how willow growers produce charcoal, not from twigs, as I had imagined, but from willow shoots growing out of a stump. Even a mature stump of 30 years old will only produce 10 to 20 shoots, but every one of them, when charred, will make their mark. The shoot that came from the stump of Jesse, Jesus himself, will make his mark, writes Isaiah. The Holy Spirit will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. This is what marks out Jesus, says John, as the long-awaited Messiah, as he appears in the wilderness of Judea, when he proclaims to the crowds who went out from Jerusalem to listen to him, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Repentance can't wait any longer, he urges. The time is now. The present moment has come. If you want peace in your lives in these troubled times, then repent now, says John. The symbol of repentance that John offered was to be baptized with water. But he promised that Jesus, coming after him, would baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. It seems, though, that people, including the Pharisees and Sadducees, were busy looking for the wrong Messiah. So very like the people of today, looking for peace and wholeness, fulfillment and restoration in the wrong things and the wrong places. We nearly got it. We nearly got it right during the lockdowns. It seemed that people were concerned about their neighbour, that those who were able to were willing to go the extra mile, that we had the time and the opportunity to hear the bird song and smell the roses. The Pharisees and Sadducees assumed that the Messiah was going to save the nation in a political and material sense. So they were on the lookout for a great leader to appear, perhaps someone like Alexander the Great. But just look at some world leaders of today and consider how they got to power. What keeps them in that position? And how they treat their population. Maybe God has other ideas about what saving the nation means. Maybe it looks more like Isaiah's prophecy. Maybe it is more about restoring and creating life-giving relationships of openness, love, and trust. And that's why, as John so succinctly put it, repentance can't wait. Our young grandchildren, now 8 and 6, were taught at a very early age, before they could even speak, to say sorry by sign language. It has taken them a little longer to know what sorry really means. That is a word of action. To confess sin or wrongdoing is only the first step. Changing our behaviour or even our thoughts is the completeness. We need, as John says, to come bearing the fruit of our repentance. We might assume that because we confess our sins, because we've been baptized, then that's all there is to it. We may become as complacent and presumptuous as the Pharisees and Sadducees who were in the crowd that came to hear John. But he gave them short shrift. Even now the axe is lying at the foot of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So it's hard enough to repent of what we have done wrong. But what if others have done wrong to us? How quick are we to forgive them? and bring peace to our relationship. Remember the theme for today, repentance can't wait, but neither can peace. Forgiving a wrong done to us or to a loved one can be so difficult, especially when it seems that there is no remorse shown by the perpetrator. My mind goes, in particular, to acts of terrorism, where for a cause or an ideology, innocent people are maimed or killed. How do you forgive that? Is forgiving such a crime the only way to peace? You may remember the terrorist attack in London 2 years ago, carried out by someone who had been imprisoned for a past terrorist attack and had undergone a swathe of rehabilitation programs, who indeed murdered the very people who were trying to help him. There was uproar and outrage that this could possibly happen. And political parties were blaming one another for policies that had enabled it. Moving tributes were paid of the tireless way Saskia Jones and Jack Merritt, who were killed in the attack, worked for justice and reconciliation. Jack's family statement following the attack said, "We know Jack would not want this terrible, isolated incident to be used as a pretext by the government for introducing even more draconian sentences on prisoners or for detaining people in prison for longer than necessary." Amazing tributes and examples of forgiveness. We can't wait for repentance. We can't wait for peace. We as Christians have to speak up and act now if we are to bring about God's kingdom, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb and where we welcome the Christ who will judge the poor with righteousness and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Our human acts of injustice have produced greenhouse effects and climate change globally, which will affect the poor before anyone else. And that's, if you will forgive me, is just the tip of the iceberg. It actually begins with ourselves. Are we ready to repent? Are we ready to forgive? Are we ready for peace? Because basically we have been waiting and putting it off for far too long. Amen.
Thank you, Joe, for your message and for your timely reminder that both repentance and peace are necessary for the health and well-being of our lives and for the world. And so as we sing our next hymn, which is number 712, let us offer peace to one another and to those with whom we hold bitterness and grudges. Put peace into each other's hands with loving expectation. Give peace a chance and share it like a treasure.
Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure hold it, protect it like a candle flame with tender
Let us pray. O Holy One, on this second Sunday of Advent, we have heard your servant crying out to us in the wilderness. We've heard the call to repentance and restoration, and we want to respond. We've heard that you are offering forgiveness of sins, and we want to hear your mercy spoken over us. We've heard that you are baptizing with water and with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Cleanse us and make us new. We've heard that you're ushering in a reign of peace, and we want to see your kingdom when it comes. God, our sins are many, but your mercy is great. Our vision is dim, but your coming is at hand. Our hope is feeble, but your promises stand forever. God, your world stands in need of you. Everywhere we look, we see need of you, for your coming, your restoration, your peace, your transformation. So on this second Sunday of Advent, we pray for the nations to know your truth and your light. We pray for the poor, the hungry, and the needy. We pray for those who are spiritually hungry and poor in spirit. May they come to know the living water and to drink deeply from your well. We pray for those who will face Christmas alone, or sick, or homeless, or destitute. Jesus Christ, light from true light, be a light in the darkness. In silence now, we pray for other situations and those we name in our hearts. God, the hour of your coming again draws near. Make us ready in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Lord Jesus, come to us again this Advent. Come and do not tarry. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together now the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in our worship service today. Our Advent candle lighting litany came from JPIT, the Joint Public Issues Team, which is a joint venture of the Baptist, United Reformed Church and Methodist Church. For our scripture reading, Margaret Goodrum, Reverend Joe Jacobs for our message today, and to Neil and Elizabeth Heppelthwaite and Adrian Pell for our music, and Adrian for the video editing, and also for one of the songs which was sung by the Everinghams Methodists from Kent. It would be lovely to know that you were worshipping with us today. So there is a form, if you're on the Methodistic website, just above this video, for you to type in your name, your location, and push the red button so that we know that you were here. Our circuit carol service is this afternoon, Sunday, December the 5th, at Museum Street at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And it's also being live streamed, and you can catch that on our circuit website, methodistic.org.uk. And I encourage you now to support your local church with your time, your talents, and your treasure. So as we bring our offerings, let us pray. O God of peace, receive and bless these gifts that we offer to you now. Let them point to your presence in the world and further your dream for the world. Through Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We're going to finish our worship today with a Christmas carol, number 205. It came upon a midnight clear. So let's sing about the angel's message for us all as we long for the time foretold by the prophets of old. O hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of angels bending near thee.
Go from here with expectation, listening to the angel's song. Go and offer reconciliation and work for peace and the blessing of God, who creates, redeems and restores. Be with each one of you, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.